Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and streaming live on Facebook, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. I don't know why Hannah Elian and J.J. Mitchell chose the name Overcoats for their group, but I do know that the name kind of fits somehow, because their songs wear a shiny electronic coat, but underneath it, those same songs are wearing a simple, almost old-fashioned weave of vocal harmonies. Earlier this year, Overcoats released their debut LP called Young to great acclaim, and they're here in our studio today to play a few songs for us. With a song called 23, here is Overcoats, live on Soundcheck.
Where I said I would be with my man before.
That's Overcoats, live here in the Soundcheck studio, in a song called 23, which you'll find on their debut album called Young, which came out earlier this year. Hannah Ellion singing and playing the guitar, J.J. Mitchell singing and playing the keyboard, Joao Gonzalez behind a scaled-down drum kit and handling digital percussion as well. And Hannah, J.J., thank you guys for coming in. It's great
to have
you here.
Thank you for having us. This is very exciting.
You know, I'm sure I'm not the only person who has kind of responded to this interesting collision of the homespun and the high-tech digital in your music. How did you guys develop that sound?
I think it kind of came just out of both of us having, like, these really disparate interests in music. We grew up, you know, listening to Fleetwood Mac, and we loved the Dixie Chicks and Bob Dylan and all of these kind of folk storytellers. But in college, we were listening to a lot of pop and electronic music. And so I think both sounds were very attractive to us. And so combining them felt pretty natural.
Yeah. So, JJ, if you stripped away the digital stuff, the looping and the digital percussion and the keyboard and stuff, what would you be left with?
I think you'd be left with something that reminds me of Simon and Garfunkel. I think that at the core of what we do is really the interplay between our voices and how we sort of empathize with one another and tell stories together. That being said, I think that we rarely do strip it back, because I think we like what the beats do for the body, and we like what more of the electronics provide in like a corporeal sense. We like that there's this dance beat, and we hope that that actually like adds more of a healing aspect and a cathartic energy. But yeah, probably Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Not to toot our own horns.
Now, the song, I mean, JJ mentioned storytelling, Hannah, and a lot of the stories being told on the album revolve around family. I mean, you have an album that begins with a track called Father, ends with a track called Mother, and in between songs like 23 about being married before you're even 23, and, you know, relationships and the work and the doubt and the rewards and all of that kind of stuff. Were these songs all written kind of as a piece of whole cloth, to continue the weaving imagery from earlier?
I think that not originally, basically. We were kind of writing what felt natural to us. We did notice that a lot of the songs had to do with relationships. And we had this song called Father that JJ had written the lyrics to. And one day I sat down and wrote Mother. And then we looked at them, and we looked at each other, and we were like, oh, my God.
We
like,
looked at each other virtually via email.
Via G-Chat.
Via G-Chat in all capitals.
And we just realized that that was what the album was about. It kind of decided itself.
And I think that happens with albums, is that they're like sort of a window into a period of time. And when we started Overcoats, we were in this transitional phase where we didn't know sort of what it meant to be like a woman in society, and how and we were changing the way that we related to our mothers and to our fathers. And so it, as Hannah said, it just came about naturally.
Right. And it does kind of maybe mark a moment in time, but that moment is now past. I mean, the past year has been, you know, you guys have been touring all over the place. You had a sold-out show at Bowery Ballroom, which, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, so obviously lots of people have been checking out what you guys are doing. I know there was an EP a couple of years ago, but has it felt fast?
It's felt, I think this year has gone by so quickly. We were just talking about in during our warm-up here how we played Mercury Lounge the night after Rough Trade, which was when our album came out, and that was only 7 months ago. And it feels to me like it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So this year has gone by so quickly. But I think more generally speaking, I do feel the sense of the passage of time since we started our project, which was about 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
And
that feels like a long time.
That feels like a long time, and a lot of hard work and a lot of transformation. And I think we're now, as you said, like we're not in that time anymore, and so we're looking ahead and writing new things.
Mm-hmm. And what, if anything, has surprised you about, you know, this whole experience of having a record that's been turning heads and getting great reviews and people showing up for shows and stuff?
I always find myself shocked when we are in a city that I've never been to in my life, where I don't even know anyone from there, and there are people in the audience.
Yeah.
Like, period. There's
I was
just
gonna
people
say the same
there.
Thing. Yeah, like, the internet is just an insane thing. It's really crazy, like, to have a sold-out show in, like, I don't know, like, where were we? Kansas City, Missouri, or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really wild to see people show up and have their own personal stories with the music. We're just like, who are you?
Lots of people have said the internet is crazy before you, but the sentence hasn't usually finished as nicely as that one did. So, the next song you're going to do for us, Hold Me Close, this has a real kind of R&B sound to it, it seems to me. You know, is that part of the mix that the two of you were listening to when you were becoming Overcoats?
I'd say it was, yeah. We do gravitate towards, like, we used to listen to a lot of Lauryn Hill, Amy Winehouse.
Rihanna.
There's definite influences in there.
Yeah. And I see, Hannah, that there's no guitar required for this one?
Not for this one.
Okay.
Too much dancing required.
Well, I'm glad we've got the cameras on then. The band is Overcoats. They're performing for us here in the Soundcheck studio, and this song is called Hold Me Close.
His words don't mean a thing. It shows right through his teeth. He walks the world like I should know what. Armor
Hold Me Close is the name of the song from the band Overcoats, live here in the Soundcheck studio. Hannah Ellian and J.J. Mitchell singing, Joao Gonzalez on acoustic and digital percussion. And I guess I'll ask, why did you name the group Overcoats?
You know, we try to remember like where we were, what we were doing when we came up with the name. And we've come up with a few theories of what happened, but I genuinely feel that we've, like, I've blocked it out. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I think the reason it felt right in the moment was because we wanted a name that acted like a protective layer that was sort of androgynous. Like, you're not quite sure what you're going to hear when you hear the name Overcoats. And I think because the music is quite vulnerable, we wanted a name that sort of represented the opposite.
Okay. Well, now the sound of that song, Hold Me Close, that's about as big, about as grand and lush as Overcoats seems to get. You know, a lot of the songs on the record are much more spare, kind of minimal. You know, the song Father is just like this eerie wash of basically reverb is the only, practically the only accompaniment. So are you guys drawn towards that kind of minimalist aesthetic of, you know, trying to leave space in the songs?
I think we are. I think both of us really like, when we're listening to music, we like to be able to hear every instrument that's going on. And I think that might be another kind of like relic from folk music that we really love. Like, it's just, you hear the banjo, you hear the guitar, the drums, the bass, and the vocals, and that's it. And there's no like mystery stuff going on. And in a lot of electronic music these days, you have just no idea what you're listening to. And so we want to use electronics, but kind of in an acoustic way where, you know, the parts are still simplified and it's still something that's very accessible to people.
So in that song, some of the electronics were clearly the sounds of your processed voices.
Yes.
So even though it was obviously something electronic, you could tell that it was something organic at its root.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you guys actually played folk music? Or bluegrass, or any of that kind of, you know, purely acoustic music?
We used to sing that stuff quite a bit before we started writing our own music.
Yeah. I think we each had, like, musical projects in college and Hannah
true.
In high school that were very much what you describe, sort of, like, mostly organic instrumentation. We didn't know sort of how to use electronics until we started writing our own stuff, and we felt that the music needed it, and it sort of grew out of that necessity. But until then, it was mainly just vocals and guitar.
Like, and occasionally banjo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you play the banjo, Hannah?
I do.
Okay. So what kind of stuff would you play? Like Stanley Brothers, or, I mean, what was
on
it?
On the banjo?
Yeah.
What was that song that, well, we had two, right?
Yeah, there were a few kind of like old Appalachian songs that my banjo teacher taught me. Waterbound. And what's the other one? Shot Over River.
Shot Over River. Yes. Would you like us to play that instead?
No. Well, there's no banjo in the studio, but...
Oh, we could rustle something up.
No, I'm actually quite happy to hear these Overcoat songs.
Oh, good.
Because you guys have, since the album Young has come out, you've continued to write. And the next song you're going to do for us is something that's post-album, right?
Yeah. Yes. It's a bonus track on our deluxe album, and we wrote it kind of in the midst of touring, I think. It's very easy to become sort of disillusioned and extremely overtired on tour. And I think we wanted to write just like an anthem for ourselves.
Well, it's funny you use the word disillusioned, because I was going to say the title, I Don't Believe in Us, is, you know, such a disillusioned tone to it.
Yeah.
And yet it seems like the song is kind of fighting against that. In a way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about that inner struggle that was going on within us about, you know, feeling so tired and frustrated and upset, but at the same time, like, knowing that you've got to keep pushing and keep going.
So was that your experience of kind of relentless touring? Was it was making you frustrated and upset? And
I think there were moments of that, but for the most part, we had a ball.
Yeah. I think the song is mostly talking about like within relationships,
okay.
Although it was kind of, it does map on nicely to the touring idea as well.
Yeah.
You've got to keep going.
Just this idea that it applies to sort of all things in life where you may have an idea that something should be sort of a fairy tale, and,
mm-hmm.
and you romanticize things, whether it's touring and having a rock star lifestyle or like within a relationship, and just coming to terms with the fact that things in life aren't fairy tales.
Right.
And so it sort of feels nice as kind of the end of Young, as this sort of like rejecting our previous naivete or something. But
wow.
Yeah.
What a sad little phrase that was, the
Whoops.
End of Young.
Now we're old. Album two.
All right. Well, let's hear the song. It's called I Don't Believe in Us. The band is Overcoats. They're playing live for us here in the Soundcheck studio.
Thank you.
Overcoats, live on Soundcheck here in the studios of New York Public Radio, and a song called I Don't Believe in Us. So that is a bonus track on the deluxe edition now of the album Young.
Yes.
And JJ, you said before, so album number two is in the works at this point?
I'm afraid so.
All right. Does the songwriting process still start with the two of you just singing together?
It often does. We don't like to limit ourselves and say, okay, it's writing time, like, let's sit down and do this. We like to just let the inspiration strike. And so we still do sit down and write things kind of from start to finish, but we also have this little Google Drive now of nuggets.
Mm-hmm. Song nuggets.
Song nuggets. Thanks for clarifying. of chicken nuggets. And so we're bouncing these like voice memos back and forth and trying to combine ideas and combine nuggets, really.
Mm-hmm. And is it usually... Hannah, is it usually your voice that's the higher and JJ's lower, or do you mix that up sometimes?
It kind of varies. I think it used to be more that I was high and JJ was low, but now it switches. Like, I think for I Don't Believe in Us, I sing the low part the whole time.
Yeah.
And for certain songs. So, yeah, we try to mix it up.
Hmm.
I feel like people look at me. This is going to be weird. I feel like people look at me and think that I'm singing the low part, even if I'm singing the high part. Do you know what I mean? Joao, do you know what I mean? He does. Like, I feel like people look at me and they're like, oh, her mouth's kind of closed. She must be singing the low part.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Just okay. Thought I'd air that out.
Yeah.
Here. On the air.
On the air.
You have the look of a low singer, is
yeah,
what you're
saying. Yeah, no, I really do. And then, like, if you actually...
Do I have the look of a high singer?
You do. I think you do. Don't you think, Joao?
Does she have the high maintenance personality of a high singer as well?
Absolutely.
The album is called Young. It is the debut LP, and really, you know, it's going to be making a lot of appearances on top 10 lists, best of 2017. It's been great having you guys here with us in the studio today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Hear other Soundcheck podcasts and see other videos online at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.